One.
Cause you're hot and you're cold, you're yes and you're no, you're in and you're out, you're up and you're down.
Hey, it's Matt and Benutius Lunchbox. And if you're wondering why today Benutius sung the intro song solo, why don't you tell us?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. You know, if you're paying attention to yesterday's podcast, you know exactly why. Why did you sing it solo today?
So we made a bet who's going to go home. And I said Leah, and you said Jess, and Jess went home.
Yeah, and the stakes were very high.
Yeah.
The stakes were monumental, such that the person who lost had to sing the intro song solo. So, but it's a beautiful voice. Much better than Katy Perry, I think. Far superior. So, pressure test today. In this case, there are only three people in it, so there was really nowhere for people to hide.
Yeah, it was a real pressure test.
Yeah.
With actual cook.
Yep, and actual stakes. Like, if Derek was in this and he still had his immunity pin, it would make more sense to use it in something, or if he had one, or if any of them had one, this would be the place where you'd think about using it, because it's one in three.
Yeah, but neither of them had.
True, none of them had it, but like this would be a case where you could kind of, we wouldn't mock them and ridicule them for using an immunity pin.
Yeah, and a 4-hour challenge, it's very grueling.
Mm-hmm. This is Legends Week, and finally we have a real legend. Yeah, unlike, it's not a celebrity, it's nothing like that. Claire Smith, legitimate legend. She started with Gordon Ramsay's restaurant after winning Cornish Chef of the Year in 2002. She rose through the ranks of Gordon Ramsay's, and in part of that, she did a stage, which is sort of an internship, at the French Laundry and Per Se in the United States, where both of us have eaten, although at separate occasions. Sir Thomas Keller, some of the best restaurants in the United States, and she has opened her own restaurant, which now has 2 Michelin stars, as you know from watching the show. So she is a legit legend, and this recipe had a lot of complexities, a lot of techniques, 10 components, because most of these desserts, they love the desserts for competition, for pressure tests, because there are all these components. There are 10 of them, 71 total steps in the recipe. We came across some interesting ingredients here and components, some that I'd never heard of before. So maybe you haven't heard of them either, so we're going to run through a couple of them. Do you know what a creme diplomat is?
No, I had no idea what it was.
I didn't either. It turns out it's just a usual creme, but one that you might be a little bit lighter than a usual cream. It's what we call maybe a chantilly sauce here in the U.S. Sometimes they lighten it by whipping it a little bit lighter or by throwing something like a gelatin into it. Next is something I'd never heard of, gelin. Gelin was in the pear puree. Any guesses? Well, it's just like agar-agar, which is sort of a seaweed thickener, sort of like gelatin. So it could be a vegetarian alternative to gelatin for things like gel. Interestingly enough, it was first discovered as what we would consider pond scum, floating on the top of a pond somewhere. And it had industrial applications. It was originally patented by the U.S. pharmaceutical company Merck. Something else in the sorbet, 2 ingredients. One is something called tremoline, which is an inverted sugar. It's made by taking 2 different types of sugar, cooking them up in water, and it just changes the components. It's a lot sweeter than other syrups might be.
What's the texture of it?
It's like honey. It's actually a lot like honey.
It's thick.
It's thick and gelatinous, just like, but it pours. It's still a liquid. So they took 2 different, dextrose and sucrose together with water. You heat it, it breaks the components down and it reforms, and that's what it's called, an inverted syrup. The other one that was interesting to me was something called Stab 2000, which, you know, we rank it rarely, but when we make a sorbet or ice cream, this prevents it from ice crystals and it keeps it very smooth. So it's another stabilizer. In an ice cream or a sorbet, where we might otherwise use something like vodka or an alcohol to prevent ice crystals from forming within it. And finally, a thermomixer. Thermomixer. Now, we've seen one in Europe, but they're not widely known here in the United States. And it's a fascinating thing, but the only way I know about it is because we've seen it on MasterChef Australia. And it's such a... I don't know how common they are. They're very expensive, but you can do a lot of things with them. You can do sous vide with them.
But what's steam. One thing you can do with the thermomixer that you cannot do with other appliances?
Well, apparently make this recipe because it requires it. It does something. It mixes and heats at the same time. Now you could.
Well, why don't you just use a hand mixer and have it on a slow. On a slow burn.
Like put something on a burner in a pot and use a hand mixer.
Yeah.
You could do that, but this is just something that sort of does it all. It measures. In fact, it can.
Well, it doesn't measure on its own.
It does measure. It knows the weight of things. So if you want to, like. It does a lot of things that you could do. You're right. You could do it separately with different devices. But, you know, even it will boil water at the bottom so you can put steam baskets on top of it and, like, steam fish. So, I mean, I guess if you don't have any kitchen hardware and
you
want to get one thing.
Steam fish in other ways.
Oh, true. But this one thing does.
I just think it's very fancy and
it is.
Not that accessible and was. I mean, it's for the serious cooks or really enthusiastic home cooks.
That's true. And it could also be considered possibly, if you're starting from nothing, a space saver and maybe something economical because it replaces so many other things all at once. You can use it to make ice cream. You can use it to make all kinds of different things. No, I'm not trying to convince you to let us get one. I'm not suggesting that. I don't really want one. In fact, it's hard to even find one in the United States. They sell them only through, like, exotic websites. They don't even really have one on Amazon.
Well, they have Thermomixers US, the official website.
True, but they sell them, like, through. They don't have major distributorships, so you could get one at Costco or Walmart. Anyway, we've talked enough about. She's making the hand gesture that says move on. So something we've seen a lot when there's pressure tests. And there are a lot of people standing in the gantry. Sometimes people in the gantry have the recipe. Sometimes they do,
no,
sometimes
I
they
think
don't.
They do.
Sometimes
they do have the recipe.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I didn't see them. Often they're holding them in their hands.
Yeah.
But in this case, we didn't see that. But they were helping. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a few seasons ago, they were really helping as well. I think Billy, that one girl that won, she was on a pressure test and was helped a lot. And then they kind of stopped. I don't know if the rules changed or what. And they whispered the mistakes that the contestants were making downstairs, but they did not raise the issue with them. They just said, go on, or be careful, or something smelling to raise the attention. But today, it seemed like the gantry was very involved.
Very helpful, and probably may have made a difference in the outcome because somebody made a mistake and couldn't figure it out and was about to go remake an entire component. But then they just said, because she didn't read the instructions and saw that you just need to mix
a
little water.
They didn't say what to do, but in a...
Well, they were telegraphing it.
Yeah.
But Jess also got a little bit of help from the gantry.
And Derek.
A little bit, yeah. But, I mean, what it does... is it introduces the possibility for gaming. Because, you know, I think the Australians, they're so good natured. They're so unlikely to cheat. But the ones that I know, there's so much into fair play. But if somebody wanted to be tactical about this, what they would do is find the weakest person in the pressure test and just coach the hell out of them, stay on top of them the whole time, make it so they don't even have to read
I
the recipe.
Don't think that the
is walk them.
Th- would allow
oh, well, what do they? That's what I'm getting at. What's the limit? What's the line? How far can?
Well, that's definitely crossing a line.
Well, but in the past, you've actually had that. We've seen that where they
stop.
Walk them through it.
Didn't stop. I am 100% sure it didn't stop because of the contestants. It stopped because of the producers.
I wonder if it was actually the producer's idea to tell the gantry to give them the hints.
No.
You think they did it? Well, clearly the producer had to say, look, you can say these things, you can't say these things. And they were leaning really hard on Leah not to go reread that recipe, leaning really hard on her.
To go and reread it.
Yeah, because she was thinking, oh, I should remake it. And they said, no, reread it until she...
No, I mean, your suggestion seems ridiculous. No, it's not going to happen.
You don't think that the producers said, no, you're not, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that the producers prompted the gantry to encourage her and gave them guidelines on what to say to Leah.
I do not think that happened.
I think the producers cued them on what to encourage her and what to say.
Why? What's the benefit?
To make the show more interesting.
How did it make it more interesting?
Because they want it to be close.
And it was close. Been close.
If she had to remake it, it could have thrown her off the entire schedule. And I also know that nothing we see, especially the uncontrollable elements, like what's said from the gantry, I don't think the producers are just like, oh, just say whatever you want. Or draw some fine line that somebody can fall afoul of. I think the only time they're saying anything to them down there is when the producers are saying, giving them a thumbs up, yes, that's okay. The only thing that the producers don't control is the cooks in the competition screwing up or being successful.
I disagree completely.
Well, maybe at the end we'll be able to get somebody on the show who was there and they can answer it for us. I'm open to the possibility I'm wrong. I just think in all likelihood it's so controlled.
Well, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Please, what did we say?
Like and subscribe.
Yes, like and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at MasterChefAU. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.